Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Hundreds gather on WSU's Glen Terrell Mall, mostly counter-demonstrating against college Republicans' Trump wall. Crime calls up 18% in the last 4 years on College Hill in Pullman. University of Idaho enrollment up for first time since 2012. Moscow will apply for street improvement grants, including one to realign 6th Street at Jackson. The first world headlines from Feature Story News and the Pacifica Radio Network. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Fall student numbers at the University of Idaho indicate a reversal of a years-long trend of declining enrollment. The University of Idaho has 11,780 students enrolled this fall, up 3.6% from last year, and the first single-year increase since 2012. University of Idaho President Chuck Staben said, "We feel that some of the efforts we've made over the last couple of years have helped us turn this corner, and what we need to do is sustain this momentum." The Lewiston Tribune reported Staben said he was especially pleased with the 6.5% increase in in-state freshmen this year. Colleges and universities released their fall numbers in advance of the October State Board of Education meeting at Lewis Clark State College in Lewiston, being held today and tomorrow. LCSC also reported a big enrollment jump. 3,924 students enrolled this fall at the college, up 8% from last year. The new numbers mark the second largest enrollment ever at the college in Lewiston. The largest enrollment was 3,999 students in the fall of 2011. Across the state line, fall enrollment at Washington State University was up 1.5%, with 30,142 enrolled this semester. The tally includes students enrolled at WSU branch campuses in Spokane, Tri-Cities, Vancouver, and Everett, as well as the main campus in Pullman. The Washington State University Elson S. Floyd College of Medicine announced today it has received preliminary accreditation for its new medical school in Spokane. The preliminary accreditation means the school can begin recruiting medical students for its inaugural semester, scheduled for August of next year. A large group of counter demonstrators gathered on the Washington State University Glen Terrell Mall today as members of the WSU College Republicans built a small plywood wall symbolizing the wall they hope Donald Trump will build to keep out Mexicans. WSU College Republican member MJ Vega told the Daily News website, "On all college campuses, we're attacked, we're shamed, and we're made to look like the bad guys just because of our opinions, and that's wrong. We've been called racist, we've been spit on." At one point during the day, it looked like 200 or 300 counter-demonstrators were gathered. Alejandra Martinez of ASWSU Mecha spoke about stories she heard as a child in Mexico about immigrating to the U.S.
They were crossing a freeway, and her husband and all her children had crossed that freeway, and as soon as she started crossing, an 18-wheeler came and killed her. And that was a story I grew up listening to. I remember growing up and knowing that immigration wasn't just a fraction or a pie chart that could be tossed around by politicians. I knew that issues on immigration weren't just about numbers and jobs. I knew it was about people, human beings with lives, feelings, and the hope that a new generation of people could have a better, brighter future. My dad, who was not born here, but was raised here and is now a citizen of the United States, has been for many years, works incredibly hard every day so I can go to school and do something that I want to do, so I can have an opportunity. That no one in my family has ever had, just like many other parents who have immigrated here to this country. So when people say that they want to build a wall on the border of Mexico and have them pay for it, I think of the fear I felt for my mom when she told me that her mom took her and my uncle to this country as babies all the way from Jalisco. I reminded of the fact that my great-grandma does not know how to read Spanish, and she sure as hell does not know how to speak English. I am reminded that my grandma has worked all her life so she can feed her children. She has worked for people in this country. She has been a maid. She has been a nanny. She has done things that nobody else wants to do. I am reminded of the tears that my Tia Lisa shed when she found that I was going to university, and the fact that she said if she could have done anything, it would have been to go to school. And now I see this wall. I see the disrespect not only for me, but for all the Latinx students. I see this wall, and I see the unsafe environment for these students it's creating. I see this wall, and I see the supporters who only see numbers and pie charts rather than people with feelings and stories.
That was ASWSU Mecha member and Washington State University student Alejandra Martinez speaking at wall counter demonstrations at Glen Terrell Mall today. Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins says the 18.5% increase in police calls on College Hill since 2014 is a factor of the increasing population of the neighborhood. Jenkins spoke to a joint meeting of the Pullman City Council and the Associated Students of Washington State University Senate last night.
So I was looking at College Hill specifically from January 1st through mid-October, and I looked for over the last 4 years. And so looking for some of the differences between 2012 and now, and we've seen a number of increases in areas. So just overall, police calls on College Hill is up over 18%. Citizen dispute calls are up 61%. Civil disputes are up 53%. Domestic disputes are up 104%. Harassment and threatening calls are up 52%. Parking problems and parking hazards are up 39%. Suspicious calls are up 46%. Auto thefts are up 113%. And vehicle prowls are up 122%. So there's been a lot of increases over the past 4 years. And I think we'll continue to see this as we see more and more population. The WSU community has grown a lot over the past 4 years. And so as population increases, we're going to see some of these increases. And so we just ask you to really watch out for each other. Be aware that these are things are happening. Pullman, relatively speaking, and compared to a lot of communities, is a very safe place still. However, we're not immune from crime. And so just ask you to be aware of that.
That was Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins speaking to a joint meeting of the Pullman City Council and the Associated Students of Washington State University Senate last night at Pullman City Hall. Jenkins used the opportunity to inform the council and ASWSU senators it's likely the police department will begin looking at ways to fund more officers soon. He said the department has only added one officer position since 2001, and during that time, the city's population has increased 35%. Tomorrow, the Idaho State Board of Education will hold a public forum from 6 to 8 p.m. in room 115 of the Lewis Clark State College's Sacagawea Hall for Lewiston area residents. Board spokesperson Blake Ude said the meeting, the seventh and last scheduled in the state, is intended to provide feedback on public schools. Teachers, school administrators, parents, elected officials, higher education representatives, and business owners have attended previous meetings. The board plans to set up an accountability system under the Every Student Succeeds Act, which will replace the No Child Left Behind Act's five-star system. Ude said the new system will measure proficiency and graduation rates, but allows more flexibility than the Bush-era framework. Yesterday, the Obama administration announced the formation of a task force for protecting the Puget Sound. The condition of the sound, which is one of the country's largest estuaries, is the latest environmental issue the administration has addressed in the region, along with diminishing salmon runs, water pollution, and wetlands degradation. The task force is expected to draft a plan with tribal governments to better coordinate environmental programs that impact the Puget Sound. The Puget Sound effort, which includes collaborations with state, local, and tribal governments, builds on similar ones around the country, including the Great Lakes and Chesapeake Bay efforts. White House Council on Environmental Quality Managing Director Christina Goldfuss said the administration has a, quote, critical role to play here in the Puget Sound in delivering on that commitment to the tribes and the communities around the Puget Sound. The task force will include representatives from federal agencies such as the Navy, Homeland Security, the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the Environmental Protection Agency. The Idaho Land Board voted yesterday to consider buying 1,400 acres of forest near St. Mary's from Idaho Fish and Game in an effort to add more forests to state endowment lands. Secretary of State Lawrence Denny balked at the appraisal price of $3,300 per acre, or $4.6 million for the entire parcel, which Idaho Department of Lands officials say is justified by the area's abundant harvestable timber and productive ground, which will retain its value into the future. Fish and Game officials say the parcel has little critical wildlife value, requiring fish and game management. Fish and Game Director Virgil Moore said the land would remain open to the public and his department would use proceeds from the sale to select priority habitats and public access. Idaho received 3.65 million acres of endowment land at statehood in 1890, 33% of which has been sold. The state is now trying to buy back endowment land funded through the sale of state-owned commercial real estate that became politically contentious for board members in 2014, since opponents claimed the properties competed unfairly with privately owned businesses. The board will use $160 million from the sales to buy forest and agricultural land as part of its strategic reinvestment plan. At yesterday's University of Idaho Faculty Senate meeting, Vice President of Infrastructure Dan Ewert said the university will no longer trap and euthanize animals until it has approved an animal control plan. Ewert said, quote, "We do have a responsibility to do better with this going forward." The program has euthanized 8 cats, 1 beaver, and over 1,200 birds with gas. Ewert also described recommendations submitted by the task force created by University President Chuck Staben in response to the issue. According to Ewert, the group recommended the university put forward a statement on animal management that, quote, emphasizes the university's primary goal is to protect its students, employees, guests, and properties from the immediate injury or damage caused by these animals. It also recommended the university consult local agencies more frequently and clarify its animal control policies to avoid accidental violations. The task force suggested developing an integrated pest management program, which would include both animals and weeds and would cover university properties all over the state, each with its own campus, each with its own management plan. The group also recommended all desirable animals on campus be given identification tags. The university has purchased a microchip scanner to avoid euthanizing pets. The group also considered changing the program name from Animal Control to Nuisance Animal Management. According to Ewert, since the task force reviewed its recommendations with the City of Moscow, the Moscow Police Department, and the Humane Society of the Palouse, the university has, quote, a much clearer understanding of our responsibility. The Moscow City Council voted Monday night to submit grant applications for 4 roadway projects, including one that would realign east and westbound lanes on 6th Street at South Jackson Street, which currently require drivers to shift lanes as they cross the Jackson Street intersection. 3 of the grants, if approved, would be funded by the Local Highway Safety Improvement Program, and 1 would be funded by the Transportation Alternatives Program, administered by the Idaho Transportation Department. Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald said staff has decided the 6th Street realignment project would be a good candidate for funding by the Local Highway Safety Improvement Program, referred to as LTAC.
That's the urban renewal site that is slated to be a new restaurant, mixed-use, residential-type facility, hopefully in the next year or so. That is the same area that we have worked with the district on additional right-of-way acquisition so that we could then realign those eastbound lanes, particularly the eastbound through lane that is directly opposite the westbound left turn pocket, which is a bit of an issue and a conflict, plus the bike lane that's in there. As you'll recall, we've talked about this project before. It is something that is in our budget currently in the 2017 fiscal year. It is something that we have gone partway through the design process already, anticipating that originally that we were going to fund this with city money and participation from the URA, both in land and potentially in some of their own costs related to utility undergrounding. In the workshop that LTAC put on in this room on Wednesday afternoon of last week, it became somewhat apparent that, you know, this is a project that probably would fare reasonably well in these grant programs. So we decided that, okay, let's add this in. And the accident history is there, you know, pedestrian and bicycle and vehicle accident history. So it is eligible. This particular project probably has the lowest cost-benefit ratio of the four, as I recall. In other words, it doesn't fare quite as well in terms of the anticipated safety enhancement, as with respect to the cost. It's got a cost-benefit ratio of 6-1. Looking back at how LSAP has been, LTAC has been funding LSIP projects, they've gone as low as 4-1 ratios, and so we think the 6-1, even though it's much lower than the other three projects, is still viable. So we thought, oh, let's put it in there and see how it goes. If we are successful in getting the grant funding for this project through this program, then the money that we've set aside so far to date obviously could deal with the local match, but it could then potentially be used for other projects related to streets around the city.
That was Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald speaking at Monday night's City Council meeting. The two other local highway safety improvement program grant applications approved by the council Monday would be for 6th Street Corridor lighting improvements and 3rd Street Corridor lighting improvements. The Transportation Alternatives Program grant application would be for North Polk Street sidewalk improvements. The Transportation Alternative grants are limited to bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure improvements. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. On tomorrow night's Evening Report, we'll have an extended excerpt from environmentalist and Nez Perce tribal advocate Gary Doerr, who spoke at the University of Idaho Law School last night. Taking a look at the weather, 20% chance of rain after 3 a.m. tonight, increasing clouds, low 43, 90% chance of rain tomorrow, high 50. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies, 54 degrees. We're now going to join Pacifica Live for coverage of the presidential debate from Las Vegas. And at 7:30, Amy Goodman will be hosting a Democracy Now! Roundtable discussion of the debate. That'll go till 8:30. Music begins at 8:30. I'm Lee Robartis. Lizzie Karp assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. KRFP Moscow Pullman.